Today's episode of Tech Talks on the Unsettled Media Podcast Network is brought to you by Tech Impact, focused on unlocking prosperity by embracing technology. For more, head to techimpact.it.
Unsettled. Welcome back to the Tech Talks with Kathy Simpson podcast. If it's not already obvious, I am Kathy, your host and the CEO of Tech Impact. Tech Impact is an industry-led organization with a mission to help Atlantic Canada embrace and accelerate technology adoption and innovation as the cornerstone of our economic future. Our work focuses on workforce development, fostering innovation, and building business. The intent of the podcast is to learn from people in our innovation and tech ecosystem. Our discussions are geared to help you understand more about the guests, their backgrounds, their projects, their companies, their passions, and most importantly, their work and life learnings to help you on your path of learning, whether that is building a company or thinking about a career in the technology sector or leading a project or wanting to better understand a new concept like cybersecurity or cloud computing or digital transformation and how it can apply to your everyday life. I know with every episode, I've learned many new things and I've been left inspired by the amazing people, stories, and opportunities here in our region. What I've come to realize from talking to people who are listening to the show is that we have so much more to tell. We have so many stories to tell and we need to keep telling them. I'm excited to share that this week's episode is kicking off a podcast mini-series on cybersecurity. There's so much happening right now in the space, so we're just sure that we need to have more than one episode this time around. So we are dedicating more time so we can explore cyber from multiple angles. As we dive into today's conversation with our two guests, we're going to learn about their experiences and just how optimistic they are on the opportunity that is coming from cybersecurity. They share with us the focus they have on education and learning, the economic opportunity that comes from all of this, and we learn what their organizations are doing to enable that growth to happen. They have been out ahead on this journey, and I can't wait for you to hear what's happening and be left with lots of optimism too. Hello, everybody. Today's theme of conversation on Tech Talks with Kathy Simpson is really about gaining a pulse on the New Brunswick cyber industry or cyber cluster that's being developed. I have two guests on the show who are very familiar and have been engaged in the cybersecurity opportunity in New Brunswick for a long time. Today, I'm welcoming Larry Shaw, the CEO of Ignite Fredericton and Knowledge Park, and Tyson Johnson, the CEO of CyberMB. So, gentlemen, thanks for joining me today for our show. Larry, I know you've been on a podcast before. I listened to you with David Campbell. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing at Ignite Fredericton, Larry, today.
Sure. Thanks, Kathy. And it's a pleasure to be here. And as you mentioned on another meeting we had, yours and my history goes back quite a ways to the old NBTEL days, and it's always nice to reminisce. So I'm the CEO with the Ignite Fredericton and Knowledge Park, and I think really the easiest way to summarize what that is we're the economic development arm for the region, and we really focus on helping companies start, locate, and grow through a number of programs and initiatives. And one of those initiatives, being an example in the entrepreneurial space, would be Planet Hatch. So, you know, it's really about helping entrepreneurs and businesses grow and be successful in our region. We also are responsible for the immigration population growth for the region. So, you know, we get the opportunity to work with a lot of great newcomers coming to our region. And a lot of those are in the topic of that we're here for today and around cybersecurity. And then the other hat I sometimes wear is around the infrastructure investments, so Knowledge Park. And it's really about building capacity, it's about building infrastructure that supports economic development.
And Larry, because of our location in Fredericton, would you say that you definitely see a little bit more of the tech industry startups happening because of the university and some of the infrastructure that's there?
Yeah, look, I think that's fair. I mean, obviously, tech industry is broad, and the advantage of tech industry gives you the opportunity to work in very remote and rural areas. So there's a lot of tech activity around the province, as you would know from Tech Impact perspective. But Fredericton's is in an envious position. I guess if you really look at it from a per capita basis, we got, you know, we would be leading in an awful lot of those measurements nationally in terms of, you know, the amount of startup companies or the amount of knowledge-based industries or tech companies. And you're right, that stems from what I think is one of our biggest assets here, and that's the research and development that's happening at the university, but not only just the university. I mean, New Brunswick Community College is now involved. They've got a research chair in Mobile One as an example. And if you look at took a corridor approach or a management of an innovation district, there's about 60 research firms within around a 2 kilometer radius, sort of around the university. So at 75% of the university-based research in the province, we get the opportunity and the luxury of being able to work inside that environment from an economic development.
And Tyson, tell us a little bit about your role as the CEO of CyberMB.
Great. Well, thanks, Kathy. Thanks for the invite today. So as CyberMB, I have the pleasure and good fortune of leading an amazing team here in a not-for-profit entity that operates as a coordinating body between industry, government, and academia, to help drive innovation, commercialization, create new opportunities for new companies, create new capabilities and career paths for youth and professionals. So we have a lot of fun doing that, and it allows us to act as a driver to help catalyze growth across the cybersecurity sectors.
So while Ignite Fredericton have been around for a little while, CyberMB hasn't been around for very long at all. So how did it come to life?
So I guess we're the new kid on the block. 2016, we were created and we operated as part of the government of New Brunswick and as a Crown Corporation under Opportunities New Brunswick. And for that period of time, they created the vision. They started to bring the vision to life, put the staff in place, create the mandate. And then I joined about 3 years ago now, and helped march this opportunity, this organization now into a full-on not-for-profit entity with an acting board and a pan-Canadian mandate with the Center of Excellence here in Fredericton.
So we'll have some people on this listening to today's episode that would be really familiar with cybersecurity. But we're also finding we've got lots of listeners coming from the business community that are learning, particularly since COVID, how important cybersecurity is. So why don't you just help us understand a little bit more, Tyson, about what the heck is cybersecurity and why does it matter so much right now?
Great point. And I think COVID, if it's done anything, it's put an exclamation point on how important resiliency and trust is into the digital economy. And so for citizens out there, what they need to understand is that cybersecurity is more of a vertical than it is a horizontal. And what I mean by that is pretty much every operational vertical in business or in critical infrastructure has a resiliency and a trust requirement. So when you wake up in the morning, you trust that the power will turn on. You trust that your mobile device will work and that the Wi-Fi will work and that you can transact with the tap on your Interact card and that you can, pass your day doing the things you need to do to be successful in business and successful as a parent or successful as a person and lean on that technology. And that technology is just magically always there. So cybersecurity is now woven into the fabric of everything we do in the digital economy. And what it demands of all the technology behind the scenes is that there's safety and security by design in every piece of technology, that the interoperability that happens between those technologies, how your debit card talks to the servers, that talks to the bank, that creates the transaction, that tells the company what their inventory is, all of that is interconnected. And for us, we just want it to work whenever we go out and shop or whenever we operate. But behind the scenes, there's a lot of moving parts to make sure that resiliency and that continued security of devices and technologies is omnipresent and always available. So that's created this massive growth opportunity in cybersecurity across every vertical that requires continuous growth of new new capabilities, new core competencies, new degree programs, new certificate programs, upskilling. So there's this continuous growth for talent and for upskilling of professionals.
The thing that I always find interesting that strikes me is this isn't about building more cybersecurity companies only, or building cybersecurity developers or architects. I like how you say it's horizontal. It's woven into everything that we do. But we do have companies that are exclusively focused on building cybersecurity software solutions or service solutions. So for some, it can be a little bit confusing when you try and talk about what is this cybersecurity industry. Do you find that, Larry, when you're talking about what you're trying to do in Fredericton and what you're trying to do to support CyberMB?
Yeah, look, it's one of those things where cyber actually is a two-sided sword, right? So some of us, you know, as Tyson mentioned about, you know, it's a fight against the criminal activity that's going on. And then on the other side, it's sometimes just the fight of between your technology and technology that you're using. So it's really, but at the same time, as you've got all this defensive action going on, you know, that's what's created the opportunity, and the opportunity that we have in terms of jobs and companies that can be grown. Tyson mentioned some of the demand on the job market. I mean, I think we're forecasting somewhere around 3.5 million million jobs are going to be vacant by the end of 2021. And I remember talking about some of these statistics 5 years ago, and we were talking about what happens in 2021 while 2021 is here. Back then, the number was significantly smaller than 3.5 million. So that gives you some indication how it grows. So there's the opportunity. So when I speak of, you know, the risk side, Tyson sort of highlighted in terms of what our lives would be. And then on the opportunity side, well, that opportunity side is where a number of companies are taking advantage of. Not only do we have startup companies that are starting to come in and fill gaps, you know, we could cite a number of those that are here. Some of them were really good names in the industry, such as Sunray Technologies with Sandy Bird and his history, of course, with QN Labs and IBM acquisition. But then you've got other organizations like Bercheron Security that's starting up. You know, again, not necessarily in the cyberspace initially. David came from the UMB space and you know, one of the leading startups that we have in this region. And you know, I think what happens is they're trying to fill a gap of a marketplace that's literally changing almost as you speak. The jobs that we refer to often, I've heard a statistic, I believe it was from MIT, that talked about the job vacancies. There's some of those job vacancies that are not even, that don't even have job titles today. So they're evolving so fast that the job isn't even invented yet, but we know we need it. You know, so I mean, I don't know how much more mobile and you know, sort of transit that those types of things can be, and how we as individuals have to be moving very quickly to try to stay ahead of it.
So if you think about that, Tyson, we have a tech sector that is evolving exactly as Larry just talked about it. The province of New Brunswick said there's something unique about cyber. We should get on that program and we should start developing a cluster here. It would be great for our listeners to understand when we talk about a cybersecurity cluster, what does that mean and how does a cluster come together? Because you're right in the middle of it every day.
Right. No, it's a really good question. And it builds on what Larry was just saying too around continuous innovation. So, and actually there was a great article just recently posted, I believe, a day ago or a couple of days ago from the government of Canada around the cyber clusters in Canada or the cybersecurity ecosystem in Canada, how New Brunswick is actually the epicenter of all of that.
It did mention your activity throughout the whole thing. I thought maybe it was a sponsored article. It was so centric to New Brunswick. I was two thumbs up when I read it.
No, it's government of Canada, so no sponsorship opportunity there. Just a lot of hard work, but it speaks to the whole cluster perspective. And so, what a lot of jurisdictions have across the country is they may have a research university, and they may have a large industry partner who maybe is doing something in cyber. But what New Brunswick has is a few. I'll call them the comparative advantages that make us special. And so, Not only do we have the applied research institutions in here in both the colleges and universities that have cybersecurity focused capabilities, engineering, mobile, telecommunications, all these research institutions that are these research universities that have these capabilities. You also have critical infrastructure owners and operators. Large telcos are here. You have vertically integrated power and energy utility companies, vertically integrated healthcare organizations. You have access to government leadership, which is unlike almost every other province in this country. So for us, from Cyber and Beast perspective, we can help organizations sit down with the stakeholders need to see in government, industry, and academia, come up with an innovation agenda, and have all those groups working together to push forward new capabilities. That's a comparative advantage you don't find in other parts of the country. And so it's created a lot of gravity for these organizations to come together here in New Brunswick. And so we just spend our days finding ways to help matchmake industry partners, applied research institutions, government organizations, both provincially and federally. Because by the way, as per that document that we're saying that came up from the FedGov, they're very much here working with us hand in hand and bringing in whether it's the IRAPs of the world or it's the ISEDs of the world or even a COA, obviously, in a very big way that supports a lot of these initiatives. So there's a lot of horsepower here, and our job is to help make sure that we're matchmaking and coordinating actively between all those partners.
And Tyson, as time goes on, you're looking at new things like your accelerator you just announced. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Super. No, and we were super excited about this. So one of the big pieces that we see and that really excites us about bringing the partners together for this accelerator incubator is two things. One is you have two startup visa sponsoring organizations. You have Planet Hatch that can sponsor on the incubator side, and you have Keiretsu, who is a global angel syndicate that can sponsor on the accelerator side. You have partners that are coming to the table that want to put funds on the table for these companies that clear those hurdles. And the door is also open for Canadian companies and even New Brunswick companies themselves to also apply into that same incubator accelerator. They will rub elbows with multinationals, nationals, and scale-ups inside the cyber center just down the street for their time in the tank, if you will. And they'll be mentored throughout the whole process, have their technology validated throughout the whole process, so that's built safe and secure by design, and then have a chance to partner with some of these amazing companies and organizations on the way out of the accelerator as they grow into the market space. So we're very excited about that. We think it tackles a number of the issues that we were seeing as required for sustained growth here in the ecosystem.
So we've got the accelerator that's launched with a number of partners. I can't help but ask the question about the Cyber Hatch and the Planet Hatch branding. There's got to be some linkages there, Larry.
Yeah, there's definitely some linkages there, and kudos to Tyson. I guess he's the name guru on this particular one. But it's really about the partnership and who's engaged and involved in the process of acceleration and incubation of startup companies. So in this particular place, obviously Knowledge Park owns the Cyber Center and owns the agenda for the clustering strategy that we've deployed in partnership with CyberNB as well and OMB. But Knowledge Park was the organization that stood up Planet Hatch almost 5 years ago. So when you look at the track record of Planet Hatch, I mean, we're approaching 350 companies now that we've helped support over the last 5 years. You know, and depending on the math that you want to do in terms of the impact of that, you know, we're somewhere north of 1,200 jobs that have the result of that. And there's approximately 80% of the companies we're working with, or 85% of the companies, are still operational 5 years out. So it's just proof that you wrap programs and services around companies, you have a lot better track record. Well, obviously, when it comes to the disruption in cyberspace, you know, we got a lot of intellectual property coming to marketplace through the research and development at the university. You know, you've got the Cyber Institute that Dr. Gavani runs. You also have Energia, that's being run by TME with inside the university. So it's really about bringing those partnerships together and move forward. Tyson, recognize that instead of going out and building yet another program, decided that it was the right thing to do to partner with us, and we'll bring all the other partners to the table that we need to be. You know, one of the things we've always stood sort of high on or important on is not creating duplication redundancy in the marketplace. So the more that we can, you know, utilize partners and utilize programming that's already in place and modify it for specific applications, then that's the right thing to do.
Well, I want to touch base and talk a little bit about talent development. But before we go there, you both talked about the Cyber Center. So, Larry, let's just talk about that infrastructure building and the vision of what we're trying to accomplish there. And then, Tyson, maybe you could finish that line of questioning about what you're doing right now. And it's certainly been a challenging year for because of COVID, but I know there's a strong strategy there that's in place. So why don't you talk about that infrastructure, Larry?
Yeah, so look, the Cyber Center, and is this going to sound like an advertisement for Knowledge Park? It's not intended to be, but a bit of history on Knowledge Park. It's, you know, we're now 20 years in the making. We've got about, you know, around $50 million of assets that is utilized to grow the economy. We build buildings, but build buildings in with a strategy of its of the clustering around, you know, a particular sector, you know, ICT and knowledge base sector. You know, we've had a lot of companies that merged out of Knowledge Park have gone out and occupied space throughout the city. So that's its intent. Its intent is to be, you know, a starter point, a catalyst for clustering and clustering strategies. And it's about investing in strategic infrastructure. And when the cybersecurity initiative started to materialize, and we're going back almost 5 years ago now, it became very clear that, you know, Knowledge Park would have a place to play in this and really use the equity that we've built up over the years in our existing infrastructure to invest in something that's new. And it's not just because it's new, it's something new that has a significant opportunity as we've highlighted by the work Tyson's doing, but, you know, just look at the job stats of 3.5 million jobs around the world, only have to bring a fraction of those here. And that has a big, significant impact on our economy. So Knowledge Park is the investment arm to build Cyber Center. Cyber Center is a purpose-built facility that is dedicated to level two capability. So from a security perspective, you know, an operation that needs to get a certification level of two can be acquired through this building. And it's a building that isn't just about the exterior view. There's a lot of infrastructure in that building that you won't see just by the, you know, just walking by it. The building is built so that it can stay operationally for 96 hours after a particular event. And that was brought on not because as much of the cybersecurity, but because the strategy that was being developed by OMB and CyberNB recognized that at some point in time, we are going to have to respond to a natural or to some sort of emergency event that isn't a flood, that isn't a fire. And unfortunately, we've seen them earlier than we like, if you look at St. John. But at some point in time, we're going to be responding to cyber threats that get to the critical infrastructure, something that affects our banking systems or our, you know, those systems that keep us alive. So Cyber Center is built to be a place where all levels of government, all levels of academics, and all levels of business can come together and collaborate. And as Tyson also mentioned, when you put people in close proximity, you get these magical collisions starting to happen. That's real where we believe real innovation takes hold. So the Cyber Center is intended to be that research area, research location that the partners can come in, work with inside the environment that they need to for cybersecurity, but also work in an environment that is highly resilient and can actually, you know, be a way that we can bring the uniqueness of the emergency measurement operations of the of products and Brunswick inside the cyber agenda. And as I said, we've seen an event right in our own back door. And unfortunately, St. John was targeted. And of course, EML and CyberNB were drawn into those initiatives right away.
So, Larry, I've known you for probably 25 years. You'll always be a salesman. It's in your DNA. That wasn't a sales pitch. That was just, these are the assets that are part of a cluster. And infrastructure investments is a key strategy of Knowledge Park. So this is a key strategy for your growth as you look forward. That's what I think you just took us through. So I really do appreciate that.
Yeah, look, just to add to that, I mean, you know, it's very much like you go back to the call center days. You know, there was a strategy. It had multiple elements to it to be successful. And one of those things for the early success of call centers is in fact, infrastructure. Infrastructure has a place to play here. Not everybody can afford to build the infrastructure that is represented by the cyber center. Typically, those structures or those infrastructures of that nature are built by government, not by a private industry company. Knowledge Park is a private industry company. So we were able to, as I said before, take our equity and put into that infrastructure, but it's really an economic development strategy at the end of the day.
So how do you, Tyson, then take that infrastructure and make it a part of your value proposition of cybersecurity, this cluster in New Brunswick?
Great question. So, you know, we've had the good fortune of being involved in the design and build of that building since day one, since back when it was simply a sketch on a napkin that turned into something pretty impressive. So we're really excited about it. So we figure, you know, we have to drink our own champagne here. So we're taking a significant footprint inside the building where we'll have training centers, collaboration centers, what we call a fusion or a CISOC, a critical infrastructure security operating center. We have shared office spaces that we have subleases in place for. We have the Cyber Hat Incubator Accelerator going into that facility. And in January, we're going to be announcing another really useful and relevant operation that builds on what you heard from a global company known as Kaspersky Labs that announced their Global Transparency Center. We will also be announcing our transparency initiative, which will be a third-party independent validated test, validate, certify of technology that goes into the supply chain for critical infrastructure, which is key for long-term sustainable procurement. So that's we're excited about it. It's going to become a real beacon for both operations, 24/7 secure operations for organizations in there, but also for advanced research, innovation, testing. We're also going to be connecting coast to coast with research universities that are doing work in the test validation and using it as a training environment, kind of an active sandbox for students in college and universities here and elsewhere.
So I want to make sure we get into talent. We've been talking a lot about in the Tech Talk series about we need more talent across the board, sales, marketing, business analysts, developers, architects, cybersecurity experts, you name it. And I know that part of what we both agree vehemently on is you got to start when students are young, and that's before university. You need to start when they're in middle school and high school. And your organization has been doing some neat things with Cyber Titans. So let's just talk a little bit about how do we get that awareness early through programs like that, Tyson?
No, great question. We've spent a lot of time. One of our key pillars is all on workforce and skills development. We have a team that's been working on this for the last few years, and we continue to really push this rock uphill when you're dealing with. So we divide it into a few different segments. We have a kindergarten to grade 12 segment that looks at creating career path. So both digital citizenship, basic STEM skills, but then cybersecurity career path opportunities for youth to self-identify as they get up towards middle school and into high school years. And that's where that Cyber Titan that you've heard about here in the province really kicks in. That's a pan-Canadian national competition for middle school and high school kids that can form teams, and then they get industry mentorship. And it's run by one of our partner organizations, ICTC, based out of Ottawa. And we've been behind it so much that out of, I believe, 100 or 205 teams across the country last year nationally that registered, something 85 to 90% are from the province of New Brunswick. So we own it. And that has caught the attention of a lot of groups. We've actually had to create, we've since created a cyber defense league, which is now a extracurricular activity that's in the public school systems, to the point where it's probably the fastest growing extracurricular activity among youth here in the province. And now we're working with some industry partners to see if we can't replicate it in other parts of the country and kind of export that into other parts of the world and bring those rents back here, but also create that awesomeness in other parts of the country and help those youth also ramp up. We work closely with the colleges and universities. And so what we do here is there's a framework known as the NICE framework, which basically identifies core skills and competencies that are required for the types of jobs that are active inside all aspects of cybersecurity. And then we reverse engineer those, if you will. And so the universities and colleges now understand what skills and competencies to build into their programs so that they're actually graduating students who actually can then walk in to take job roles. So we're seeing a really dynamic interaction between colleges, universities, secondary, you know, high school level youth, industry. We have a virtual co-op mentorship that's been created as well. So the quicker you can get industry connecting with talent as they come out of high school, and the more you can get industry connecting with the universities and colleges, the faster you can turn around talent and help create really productive talent for the growth that's out there.
And Larry, these are well-paid jobs, really well-paid jobs that are changing dynamically all the time.
Yeah, there's no question, and they will continue to be higher in value when you look at the job shortages we have. That, you know, they'll tell you that there's going to be continued upward momentum on those jobs. So, you know, that's good for us as a province. You know, we go back to going back to the call center era again. Call center era is sometimes criticized for not having the value of the jobs. I think we missed the real reason the call center era had its impact on the knowledge industry, or particularly in ICT. It was the first on-demand requirement that we had for large resources in the IT space when all these call centers were being set up. So it, in a lot of ways, was the foundation for, you know, some of the development, some of the shift where we've seen IT move, as Tyson talks about. You know, when you look at the cyber agenda from an economic development perspective, this represents something that's quite unique. And when you see it in economic development terms, it's really where you want to try to double down on and impact as much as you can. There's obviously a significant global demand. That global demand is in a wage structure that is really important to us as an economic development area. But more importantly, as Tyson talked about, this is really a horizontal play as compared to a vertical play. So cyber, I don't think you could probably name one organization, one individual, one job, one industry, one location, one global footprint that cyber is not impacted. What happens from an economic development perspective is now you have the ability to insulate your workforce to some extent, because you know, if there's a downturn in a particular sector or not, cybersecurity demands that we are building in the marketplace doesn't really experience those downturns. If you look at just the activity that's happened through COVID-19, you know, we've had nothing but significant growth in all measurements around cybersecurity, whether that's on the negative side of additional attacks or whether that's on the positive side of new startups and business growing. Almost every IT company, well, not almost, I would say all of them are involved in some element of cybersecurity. So from an economic development perspective, it really has all of those really important elements that gives the sustainability, long-term growth, and the trajectory is more rampant or more escalated than what you would find in maybe just a normal program that you would put in economic development, you know, foreign direct investment attraction, all still very important. But a lot of this stuff is just organic, growing right in our back door here.
But I love this whole vision for the province in that wearing my tech impact hat, you know, we want the sector to grow. And then there's these clusters where we're going deep into building infrastructure, talent, companies, startups, skills, you name it, because it's not just new students coming out of university or college, but people who work in the industry now, their jobs are changing because of that layer of cybersecurity. So, you know, it's exciting to think about how far we can take this industry. I even hate calling it an industry, but this space known as cybersecurity. And by starting early, it may take a little while, Tyson, but we're going to see that as students are starting to think about where do they want to go to school, what do they want to learn, and they're going to be leaning more towards computer science and engineering and mathematics as a result, I think. Are you patient, knowing that it's going to take a little while?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a fascinating conversation, and there's certainly a lot of working groups across the country that are trying to scratch their heads and figure this one out. If you ask me, if I crystal ball this, I would say that in 10 years' time, cybersecurity may not even be a phrase we use anymore. It's simply going to be built into the fabric of everything in every other vertical. You won't build a product without having it be resilient and meet certain standards from a digital transparency, digital safety perspective. Well, that's cybersecurity. You won't have a digital infrastructure without it being monitored and maintained securely. That's cybersecurity. That will just be embedded in. So I think we're going to see is these degree programs. We're already starting to see, you know, certain degree programs where you're seeing cybersecurity components already being built in. And I think in years to come, in 10 years now, you'll see engineering programs, law programs, you name it. They're going to have a cybersecurity component in it. And there won't even need to talk about it. It'll simply be, it'll be something that's just understood that that's embedded into these initiatives. And whether it's global standards or whatever it might be, it'll become something that's just absolutely ubiquitous and understood and woven into every one of these other degree programs.
But I think the NICE framework helps with that a little bit. It starts to show you some of that consistency of skill that's required. So we got to talk about 2021. It's a couple of weeks away. Unbelievable how fast time flies when you're having fun. And 2020 has been a tough year, but we're resilient. You know, we're not risk averse. We're really trying to push the agenda here. Talk about some key milestones that you hope to accomplish, both of you, in the work that you're doing at Knowledge Park, Ignite Fredericton, and in cyber, and then Tyson, same thing for you for CyberMB. What does a great 2021 look like for you?
So I'll go first, Tyson. So to me, I think we have more opportunities, whether it's an individual or business or community or province or government, whichever measurement you want to put in place. We have more opportunities now than I think we've ever had, certainly in the years that I've been around in terms of economic development or provincial growth. And we're starting to execute on those and starting to take advantage of them. And, you know, we need consolidated leadership, both from provincial and federal governments. We need to make sure that we're all pushing in the same way. We're not sort of somebody always leaning in the wrong way into momentum. We need everybody on side. And with that, I think what we're going to see some pretty significant rapid growth, you know, as the work Tyson's doing in terms of the labor market, as we build capacity, then we're going to be able to capture a significant amount of those jobs relative to our size, significant amount of those jobs around the globe. But I think what we're also going to see is how we're going to find collaboration starts to form in a different way. Yes, you mentioned sort of Fredericton may be a bit centric around knowledge industry, ICT industry, as well as the cyber sort of base, but we need to bring in the entire region. You know, there's lots of cyber skill sets in Moncton, St. John.
Absolutely.
So when I look ahead, I think we're going to see less of this regional specific sort of, I make a decision to be in Moncton or I make a decision to be in Fredericton. I make a decision to be, you know, where the assets are and where the support can be. And that's going to be jobs and the skill sets around that. So again, when you look into the crystal ball, there's going to be a lot more collaboration. You know, from a very specific layer, we're going to have a significant amount of that building down there leased. And that's always a good thing because we're going to be somewhere around 600, 650 jobs are going to be in that building itself. And, you know, leasing literally has started now and we're building space, as Tyson mentioned. So that's going to be a big impact to Fredericton when you look at the number of jobs that's going to create. But really, it's even more foundational that for me, I think when you look at one measurement or some of the measurements coming out of Planet Hattrick now, we have more newcomers involved in startups than we've ever had before. We have more women involved in startups than we've ever had before. But when you look at the opportunities that's going to be created for the youth, I don't think we're going to be experiencing youth that needs to jump on planes and go around the world to work. They want to do that for experience and want to do that for, you know, satisfaction of life goals. But at the end of the day, they're going to be able to find gainful employment here in the province in such verticals as cybersecurity. I just think it's going to be a game changer for us in the same way that the contact center industry was a game changer back in the 80s.
That's great, Larry. What does a great 2021 look like for you, Tyson, at CyberMB?
So for the organization itself, we will expect to double in size, if you will, in the next 12 months. We have a couple of key announcements coming out in January. We have a board meeting on January 7th we're excited to have because there's so many interesting things we want to be able to discuss and move forward on. We expect our Ukraine relationship to significantly increase here in the months ahead and be in full ramp by the time we get to spring summer. that should bring a ton of export opportunities for organizations and companies here in New Brunswick and Canada to export into other parts of the world. We also expect significant collaboration to increase with our federal government partners on key initiatives that have been maturing over the last 12 months. So we see significant growth in cybersecurity with the Center of Excellence here in New Brunswick in the next 12 months.
More new companies getting started out there through your accelerator?
That's the goal. I mean, in a perfect world, we're in a place where we can bring, five companies in per cohort, run about four cohorts a year, bring about 20 companies through. That would be phenomenal. So there's a lot of work going on right now on that as we speak. And we expect some exciting times as hopefully we get to kick off our first cohort early in the new year.
And I think, Larry, you make a really great point. I mean, it's not just about the region of Fredericton doing this. It's about the entire province. We want growth everywhere. And if anything, 2020 has truly taught us how to work virtually. And we have talent in specific areas and we need to tap into that talent. So your point's really well taken and we've learned a lot this year as a result.
Yeah, look, there's no question. I mean, obviously it's been a tough year and I don't want to underplay a lot of companies that's really struggled. And, you know, it's we're trying to help them in every way we possibly can. And yet they're still under threat. But at the same time, we've had lots of opportunities so that we need to make sure we're maximizing some of those things. If you just look at, you know, one of the indications that sort of struck me is we've always struggled to figure out how do we put digital health in the marketplace. Well, within 3 weeks of the province shutting down from COVID, I think the stats that I was hearing was somewhere around 50 or 60% of the visits were now done online. Well, I'd hope we don't go back and start to go back into, you know, the emergency wards and things like that. Let's keep some of those things at play. And again, cybersecurity is an enabler of that. Once we feel more comfortable with the elements of digital health, which will be created by cyber, then we'll adopt that much more quickly than I think we have in the past.
So Tyson, to find out more about CyberMB, where can our listeners go?
Easy thing to do is cybermb.ca for all your information and reach out to us if you want to speak to anyone.
Well, that's great. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me today. Really excited. This episode is kicking off a mini series on cybersecurity. We're going to be talking about all kinds of different aspects with different players throughout the province. So glad that you got us grounded in what's going on at CyberMB, the Cyber Center, the Accelerator, and all the good work that you're doing there at Planet Hatch and Knowledge Park, and really appreciate it.
Thanks, Kathy.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Kathy. Take care.
This discussion was exactly what we needed to kick off our cybersecurity miniseries. It got us grounded. I know it helped me get thinking about the work happening at Ignite Fredericton and CyberMB, and we got to hear firsthand from our early leaders of why cyber and why now. We talked about the cybersecurity cluster, the cyber center, cyber titans, cyber hatch, to name a few things. And in the upcoming episodes, we'll meet founders leading cybersecurity companies, and we'll be learning more about educational programs to help build up these skills. Sticking to education for a moment, Tech Impact just announced a unique program at the Canadian Institute for Cybersecurity at the University of New Brunswick and with our partners Bell, UMB, and ACOA. It's focused on responding to the looming shortfall of cybersecurity talent by connecting highly skilled students with companies operating in Atlantic Canada. The program is called BRICS, the Bell Research Intensive Cyber Knowledge Studies Program. We love our acronyms in the tech sector. And it provides students with a Master's of Applied Cybersecurity, scholarship funding, a four-month research internship, and ultimately a full-time job offer. You can find out more at techimpact.it on the blog, on our social media channels, and an upcoming episode as part of the mini-series. Thanks again, everyone, for spending time with us, and chat soon.
Tech Talks is brought to you by Tech Impact. Learn more at techimpact.it. The podcast is hosted by Tech Impact CEO Kathy Simpson. It's produced by me, Matt George. It's engineered by the great Zachary Pelche and is part of the Unsettled Media Podcast Network.